And it's time for humanity to stand up in the info war and say, I don't know what's going to happen at the end of this, but you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We're good. 20 plus million people dead from those shots.
We just confronted the former head of the NIH, Francis Collins. He's one of the villains with Fauci and the entire Wuhan operation and the cover-up, the origin, and then the poison shot. Now, he's since backpedaled some, but that doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen. He needs to be held responsible. So Fauci and Bill Gates are the very worst. He's down here part of the way, and he started to come public and admit that this was wrong, what they did, the lockdowns, the poison shots, all of it. And when I said to him, you're about to see it, 20 plus million dead, he nodded his head. So maybe he has a soul. Maybe he's going to go public. Good. Redeem yourself. Turn state's evidence, like Redfield and others have started to do, and come all the way out, because the globalist operation for depopulation and what these shots do, turning off the immune system, is all public, and it's not going away. And it's destroying faith in the system and in the medical system, and it's going to bring the system down. So those of you in the system need to join with the people, and you need to come out for Nuremberg 2 and be witnesses against those that will be held responsible. And you know the punishment for crimes against humanity. You know what that is from Nuremberg with the Nazis. All right, here is this confrontation.
Hey, Mr. Collins. How you doing?
I'm all right.
We're good. 20 plus million people dead from those shots. Well, truth's coming out about you and Fauci. How's it feel to kill more people than Hitler?
You're writing some folk songs about it?
Go ahead.
You're writing some folk songs?
You'll never get away with what you did, your bioweapon. You're in a lot of trouble. Nuremberg 2 is coming. Get his face. All right. He's good. We'll be exposing that guy. All of them are going to prison, Nuremberg 2. They can run, but they can't hide. The truth will get them. Mass murderers.
Love New York.
God bless you, brother. Former head of the NIH came up with poison shots, everything right there. Sure.
Alec Martin. Devin McKenna, Justin Moore, Clara Moreno, Daniela Nemo, Sandra Nolan, Julie Colleen,
Mr. Colleen,
yeah.
I know we had a few seconds, so I hit him as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So here he goes.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host for the hour, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I got my Minnesota Vikings regalia on today. And I'm honored again to be able to host the Alex Jones Show. What an incredible clip there, him getting right up in the face of Dr. Collins about these vaccines. We're going to talk a little bit about my opinion on these vaccines over the course of the hour. We're going to talk about a lot of things, some culture, some policy, but strap in. You know, you're listening to the Alex Jones Show. You're watching the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast. Minnesota Vikings got a big win today. And I was out there doing some of that in your face retail politics myself. Had some volunteers out there helping me spread the word about the campaign in front of the U.S. Bank Stadium. Sporting events always bring out people from both sides of the aisle, from all walks of life, really. So we want to be everywhere where the people are. That's why the theme of the campaign is the people are coming. We're glad you're here this afternoon. We'll be right back on the other side of a short break. The Alex Jones Show, Royce White, strap in, smash mouth populism here on Sunday afternoon.
want your shot to own this piece of pure Americana, the most powerful, amazing truck in the world today, it's real simple. You go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. You can enter for free by putting your email, or when you buy great t-shirts or amazing knives and so many other great products that fund the InfoWar, you get entered 5 to 10 times for every purchase. Now, you're getting the colors I like the best, this dark green, this black, the red pinstripe. But what really matters is the shocks, the giant tires, the engine. Folks, I've had a lot of big trucks, but I'm telling you, they don't even compare to this. Be part of this, be part of history, be part of saving the Republic. And believe me, you want this truck. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I'll see you there, and I can't wait to find out who the lucky winner is going to be. I'm telling you, this is better than sex.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday afternoon. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And as I was just saying before the break, I love seeing Alex Jones get right up in the face of the establishment and their shills, their running dogs, Dr. Collins, responsible for a lot of injury and death in our country and around the world through the vaccines. And it's just my opinion on the vaccine. Look, it's not an opinion. It's a fact. The entire vaccine industry is corrupt. We don't have to, you know, the COVID vaccines for sure. Yeah, we see the issues with that. Now Dr. Fauci says, hey, myocarditis, you know, there's myocarditis out there. How much? Who knows? It's kind of a open-ended. We know there's a problem. We can tell from their reactions. We can tell from the way that they handled the pandemic and the COVID-19 vaccines. There was an issue. But there's an issue with the entire vaccine industry. I mean, there's a fundamental problem with the entire vaccine industry. And all you got to do is go back and look at the history. You know, Alex Jones has done a great job of exposing some of that history. But I was just at an incredible health summit, Health Freedom Summit here in Alexandria, Minnesota, not last weekend, but the weekend before, I believe. It all runs together when you're on the campaign trail. But I was at this summit, and they had a bunch of great presentations. I saw my good friend Kenny Maurer, who is a Hall of Fame referee, or will be, should be a Hall of Fame NBA referee, who said, hey, I don't want to take the vaccine. I don't want to take the vaccine, and the NBA tried to mandate it. Never forget. And I'm saying this all as a precursor to what I'm going to talk about today in terms of culture and sports and entertainment and where we've kind of lost some ground and where we need to pick back up some ground. But this summit was incredible, and they laid out a sequence of events where polio, for example, you know, hit the scene. It devastated people. A lot of lives were lost due to the polio disease, but those numbers were already on their way down. They had already decreased 90-some% before the vaccine was introduced. And then they used the vaccine to suggest or say that decrease, that sharp decrease in deaths are due to the vaccine. That's not true at all. There's no evidence to show things like this. It's complete propaganda. You have three industrial complexes. You have the military industrial complex. You have the military, the medical industrial complex, and you have the media industrial complex. All three of them, they work together. You know, on any given day, you can see a politician go on mainstream media to promote part of that medical industrial complex, or promote another war, vice versa. If you really get down to the nitty gritty, you find out that a lot of your media propaganda and a lot of your medical research, advanced research, is done in the military industrial complex wing of our government and society. So it's all connected, inextricably linked. So none of my kids have been vaccinated. Not one of them. Not under my authority. And they'll be hell to pay if I find out that one of my children was vaccinated without my consent. But I wasn't vaccinated. Nobody in my household was vaccinated. My mother wasn't vaccinated. My father didn't get vaccinated. I mean, so there are people out here who have already rejected this COVID-19 vaccine narrative. Now we need to start to build and expand where people reject the vaccine narrative writ large, or at least better understand it, informed consent. These used to be regular accepted ideas. Now I guess this is conspiracy theory. This is why, you know, you go to my Wikipedia, like I said the last time I hosted, the opening line is Royce White is a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm a conspiracy analyst is what I am. There's a lot of conspiracy in this country. And as the great Steve Bannon always says, you know, there are no conspiracies, but there are no coincidences. That's kind of a wink and nod to tell you the conspiracy isn't really so conspiratorial. It's really right up in your face. Collins, Fauci, a lot of them, the World Health Organization, it's right up in your face. The only conspiracy really is that they've done such a good job with entertaining people at places like the Minnesota Vikings football game that they can tell you it's a conspiracy or a conspiracy theory. That's really what the conspiracy is. The conspiracy is to distract the American people and the people all across the world with bread and circuses, so it's much easier to lie. We all know what the scam is. The problem still, the entertainment is good. And I mean, I'm a sportsman myself. I'm a lifelong athlete and a pretty good one at that. I mean, only 5,000 people in the history of human civilization were drafted to the NBA. It's a very rare feat. And, you know, I've played sports my whole life, and there is a lot that sports offers society. There's no doubt about it. A lot that sports offers us. Sports are great. I mean, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's part of the problem as well. And that's what I really want to talk about today. We have this tendency when these Marxists and communists infiltrate, take over, and they start to spread their dogmatic beliefs. We have the tendency to reject and resign from whatever they've touched and throw the baby out with the bathwater. This is a mistake. This is a mistake. Partly because you got to, you know, when you're in a war, you're in a fight, you got to acknowledge and accept how effective your enemy is with their strategy. And this strategy is effective. When you take the media institutions, when you take the academic institutions, when you run the entertainment industry, you have a monopoly on information. That's why the show is called InfoWars, right? There is a mainstream establishment monopoly on information itself. We have to acknowledge that, and we have to start to push back. We have to start to fight back fundamentally at an institutional level, at a freedom of movement, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly level. And we're starting to do that. That's what Alex Jones is showing you right there. He's walking through the airport. He's going right up to Dr. Collins. He's getting right up in his face, getting right up in his grill and speaking the truth. But we have to do it. All of us. We have to do it. When you know, think about it. I was just down at U.S. Bank Stadium, downtown Minneapolis. I know people talk about how dangerous Minneapolis is, and there's no doubt about it. There's problems. There's crime. I don't believe for a second that crime is at an all-time low. I think there's a lot of crime happening that isn't being reported or reported properly. I think there are a lot of, dead leads out there that aren't getting reported properly. So I'm not saying that crime isn't an issue. What I am going to say is, crime is still a small possibility en masse. Okay? En masse, the chances that you become a victim of violent crime are not high. They're still low. It's an issue that we have to solve. And for those who become victims to violent crime, to home invasions or carjackings or burglaries and maybe gun violence and all of that. Yes, we have to work on those. We have to keep watching that. We have to be mindful and vigilant, and we have to diagnose the problem and try and come up with a solution. The solution is never going to be you taking our guns. That ain't happening. That's not a solution. The solution can be that we start to fix the culture and we give people something better to live for and better to live by. But don't let them fool you into hiding in your little corner of the world. See, because when you do that, I use this example all the time, and I was telling some people down at U.S. Bank Stadium today who live in Minnesota or from Minnesota, but they spend time down in Florida. In Minnesota, we call those snowbirds. There's a lot of retirees here from the state of Minnesota or that have two residencies. They live here part of the year, and they live down in Florida part of the year. Part of it's because of weather. Okay. Part of it's because of income taxes. And we tip our hat to the great state of Florida for having a much better income tax policy than Minnesota. In fact, if there's a hallmark of Minnesota's communism, it would be the state income tax, where We had an $18 billion surplus here in the state of Minnesota, and commie Governor Waltz didn't give a single penny back to the working citizens. That, my friends, is what's on the horizon. We know that. However, it's also worthwhile to mention, when you think that you're running from the front line, when you think that you're tucking tail and running to a better place somewhere else in the country, it's funny how quickly your commie governor becomes the pick to, let's say, get the vice presidency. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you think you're leaving Minnesota to go move to, I don't know, South or North Dakota. Maybe it's Iowa. Maybe it's Florida. Maybe it's Texas. You know, you think you're running from the communism and the socialism and the Marxism where you were. And all of a sudden, the governor from that state, boop, shoots up the ladder, and he's going to be the vice president of the whole country. I mean, you see, the point I'm making there is don't run. Don't run. You got to hold the line where you are. And part of holding the line where you are is not getting so caught up in fearful of the possibility and potential for crime and violence out there in the metropolitan areas that you don't go out and stand firm for what you believe in, and even more importantly, preach and minister the gospel and the value of American citizenship. We have to do this. I saw something today that was so inspirational. I'm there outside the Vikings stadium, U.S. Bank Stadium, which was paid for by the tax dollars, by the way, here in Minnesota. Beautiful stadium, you know, must hold about 80,000 people. It's just a modern marvel. And even more of a modern marvel is to see how many people an American football game just draws. I mean, when you really see it, when you visually see it, when you're there and you're not there just to get out of your car and kind of, you know, walk up to the arena or the stadium and walk in and get to your seat or get your snacks from the concession stand. When you actually just sit back and watch it from an observational standpoint, it is breathtaking how many people are there at one time. It's really mind blowing. At least for me, it was today. So I'm there and I see the thousands and thousands of Minnesota Vikings jerseys. Now, what's great about it is, I'll talk about what's inspirational in a moment, but what's great about it is American football and American professional sports does bring out a mixed crowd of people who are engaged in their fandom because of a much broader sense of community outside of their politics, right? I mean, people's politics are their politics. People's faith are their faith. But sports has a way to bring all of the people from a given community together under the auspice of genuine, fair, and elite competition. That's what that's what all professional sports does. Hell, that's what sports does down at your high school level. You know, down to the peewee level, as a matter of fact. There's all kinds of tournaments all across the country you could go off to on a given weekend, and you'll find people there who are the parents of young children, kids, teens that believe in many different things, but they're there together in one place under the auspice of genuine and fair competition. So that's a beautiful thing. And that's why we went down there as a campaign. And I had about 10, 11 campaign volunteers. One of my young up and coming Republicans, his name is Mason Madden, and he's holding the Royce White sign up, and we're walking against the grain of traffic and being polite, just smiling and waving. Hello, how you doing? How you doing today? And good to see you. Good to meet you. You know, people come up and they say, Royce, good to see you. We're voting for you. Thank you. We support you. And some people give you a little, you know, side eye. You know, some people make a little snarky remarks under their breath. And that's all good. That's all part of it. But we want to be where the people are, and we want to show who we are. And we don't want to allow the Marxists and the communists and the socialists to brand us. So sporting events are great. But I saw something inspirational. And in front of the stadium, right in front of the stadium, right where you walk up to walk in and get your tickets or punch your tickets or whatever the case may be. There was a man out there. And he was hooked up to his microphone and had a speaker, and he had a sign. You know, he had one of those body harnesses that was connected to a sign over his head. And he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the gospel.
And it dawned on me how when I was coming up, I would have regarded that as a nuisance. I would have regarded him as something that's an irritant. And you can almost see as people encounter what he's saying out there in front of the stadium that many of them think of it as a nuisance. Even if they vote Republican, even if they may support Donald Trump, they find it that the football game is not really a place where they should have to come and encounter a man preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I thought it was so courageous. I mean, you just know nobody wants to hear what he has to say. You can feel it. When you're out there, when I saw him, I could feel that nobody really wanted to hear what he had to say. It's a strange kind of catch 22 right there in front of a football game. Cause at the same time where I say sports is valuable, it has value that it has to society. It has become almost religious. So religious, in fact, that people reject the gospel of Jesus Christ right there in front of the stadium as it's an inconvenience. And there's something to be said for that as to why our society has gone the way that it's gone. So I'm sitting there and I'm listening to him, and he's saying, yeah, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. And you know, don't be damned to hell. Don't let your soul be damned to hell. Nobody can save the. And he starts talking politics. He says, Democrats, Republicans, Jesus Christ is the only way. And he must have saw me, and he yells out, even Royce White, you know, or Royce White isn't in Christ. And if he isn't in Christ, then, you know, he can't help you. And so I stopped. And, you know, I'm 6'8", 270 pounds. So people can see me. I stop, I turn, and I walk up to him, and I say, now, wait a second. I say, I like what you're doing out here. I think it's courageous. I really do. God bless you. Praise be to God. But what makes you say that I'm not in Christ? He said, oh, I said, if you're not in Christ. I said, no, you said I'm not. They said, oh, well, I meant to say if you're not. I said, okay, well, fair play to you. God bless you. And he said, yeah, you got my vote. But my point in saying and pointing that out is this. So I want to keep talking about this cultural thing, that the crisis of culture and sports and entertainment that we have in the next segment as well. But the reason I point that out is this: sports has a way of bringing people together, but we've siloed sports from politics, and politics from education, and education from it's just all these silos. There's all there are all these separations in our society, in our culture. You're not supposed to talk about this thing here. You're not supposed to talk about that thing there. And it's all just nonsense. It's all us just buying into a norm, a status quo where we can't even talk to each other. And that's really what started to happen. When you really think about the result of that culture, is we just don't really talk to each other. I mean, people are starting to become accustomed to not even speaking to one another. And so that's part of something that we have to look at. That is what we have to look at. We have to think to ourselves, we love football. We love technology. We love the internet. You know, we love, being able to go to mass online. Okay. At our mega church. And that's all well and good, but convenience will be the death of freedom and liberty. And you got to understand that. And I know it's inconvenient to go down there into the Twin Cities, into that metropolitan area, wherever that NFL football stadium is, or NBA arena is, or you know, MLB stadium is in your respective city. I know it's inconvenient to go down and find a place to park, and the city overcharges you to park on the street, and everybody's price gouging each other. Cause hey, I mean, we're living in inflationary times, right? I know it's inconvenient, but you got to ask yourself, what's more inconvenient? Going down to those places, smiling and waving and representing yourself as an individual citizen, but also the things that you believe in, representing that, or living under communism. And that's what we failed to weigh and measure up until this point. You know, we've kind of looked at all of these things as somewhat of an inconvenience. Like, we let the Marxists and the communists take over our schools, and so we reject that. We don't like it, but we're not willing to sit on the school boards. You understand what I'm saying? Is that we have a problem with crime. down there in Minneapolis, in the belly of the beast, here in Minneapolis, I'm in the belly of the beast, here in Minneapolis, we got a problem with the crime, but we don't want to go down there and preach the gospel, or we don't want to go down there and administer the value of American citizenship or the Republican Party platform or whatever party that you believe in, whatever party platform you believe. We don't want to do that, though, right? And so I get myself to this place where I'm thinking, we have to be down there every single home game. We have to be down there. Just to smile and wave because you know, what you have to first check off of your list is, you know, before you throw too much condemnation on people, you know, who may love sports more than they're involved with the church, or they may know the stats of their favorite player more than they know, you know, what's going on in terms of the people who represent them in government and which way they vote on certain bills. You can throw condemnation on them, but you have to ask yourselves, why would they think any different? And so even myself, where I have great contempt for, and it grows, trust me, on a daily basis, because I do encounter a lot of people who know exactly what's going on. And they're siding with these evil people on purpose anyway. They're making a conscious decision to do what's wrong. So those people deserve our condemnation and contempt. But there are a lot of people, a vast majority of people, who are falling through the cracks by default. Simply by default. There are a lot of people who and take it from me, I grew up in a Democrat a culturally Democrat community. I grew up in a Black Catholic community as well. So you could say there are plenty of traditional conservative values that were just baked into the way that we thought. But culturally, politically, Black communities all across this country remain culturally Democrat. Now you're seeing a shift, and Donald Trump helped to bring about that shift in many ways. But regardless, some of these people don't know any better. They have no clue. They don't even know what Marxism really is. I mean, they're just being told some fluffy, fictitious fairy tale about Marxism by some white liberal woman who was, you know, brainwashed and educated by a Marxist professor who came from the 60s, who thought that Marxism and socialism were the only suitable rejection to capitalism because of the military industrial complex and what they thought to be unrighteous wars. That's one way you could see it. Don't get me wrong. There's some people that even back then, Henry Kissinger, they knew exactly what they were doing. I'm not making any excuses for them, but I'm talking about the people, the general public. The greatest scam and conspiracy ran on the general public is to distract them, to not give them all the information, so they can't make an informed decision. So they don't understand the implications of what their views and beliefs, even casually, may really mean. And we have to, as Christians and as Americans who believe in redemption, we have to carry some level of grace when it comes to thinking about the future of this nation. But also, how do we go back and reach these people? And the great news coming out of Minnesota right now, out of my race with Amy Klobuchar, neck and neck with the independents. They said that us MAGA extremist Republicans could not perform with the independents and moderates. And the latest poll shows that me and Amy Klobuchar are dead locked, dead heat with the independents, which is a very, very good sign for the direction of this country in this election cycle. You're watching the Alex Jones Show. I'm Royce White. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWarsMD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation nutrition and muscular performance. Or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor or just take our word for it and check out the InfoWars MD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss. It equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are. And that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taking place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com.
And I'm sorry to give people the bad news, folks. It's all over. We need to get ready now. People need to go to KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. You need to get ready. This is the place to go. I love them. They're great sponsors. They're great people. Or you can call 720-605-3900. In my opinion, you are insane if you don't get into silver right now and get some gold. And I wish I could do it. I'm under enemy attack. It's okay. It's fine. And I'm just looking at all of you, wishing I was in the position you're in right now, because I wish this wasn't the case, but I intellectually and spiritually know I'm 100% right. And I think you all know it too. We are screwed. But the good news is humanity's waking up, and we're going to turn this around. So buckle up, folks. Buckle up and get ready now, because the greatest crisis of all of our lives is happening now. And I'm just the watchman on the wall, the Paul Revere, telling you the New World Order's coming. It's here.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs, only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we are here this afternoon, here to talk to you about a good deal of things, good many things, political, cultural, so on and so forth. But before that, we got a message from the great Alex Jones himself. It's an honor to be here with you. We'll be right back.
11 weeks ago, the U.S. Justice Department trustee assigned to my case, personal and business bankruptcy, ordered without a court order or any reason the doors of this facility shut. They lied and said it would just be for 3 days, and they admitted the security it would be for a month or permanently. The judge in Houston, Judge Lopez, had nothing to do with it. Then it hit the news they were going to close us. No judge's order, no nothing, just the Justice Department, who'd been involved in the case harassing me from the beginning for over a year and a half. People were blown away by it. I refused to go along with it. I said I'd call the police on them. They didn't have any orders. They backed down. Then they went to court 2 weeks later and said, we want him removed. The judge listened to him and said, you're all fired. The CRO, who'd been appointed by the court, and the Justice Department appointed person that the court had let into it. And they had a Justice Department committee, all this stuff. Now, I'm in personal bankruptcy. I agreed to sell the assets of Free Speech Systems, the website, the shopping cart, the equipment. And there was going to be an auction on the 24th of October. Then they moved to the 30th. The Democratic Party running all this, the FBI, CIA, it's all come out in the news. Didn't want that. They want me off the air by early November. This is in the court filings. They said, we don't want money. Want him shut down. And the judge said, no, it's going to sell. There's buyers out there that are patriots that I'd work with. They'd have to outbid that. They don't want to do that. So they announced, and I knew this 2 days ago and hadn't announced it yet. It hit Bloomberg, AP Reuters. We'll put Bloomberg up. That the Justice Department is intervening. Alex Jones bankruptcy trustee sale efforts challenged by DOJ. They rarely get involved in bankruptcies, but they got involved in mine. They're unable through just pure vigilantism to shut us down 11, 12 weeks ago. Got egg on their face, and now they've come back. They want us shut down and just close and don't even let them sell the assets. You heard that. So it's a gamble, but we were doing it. Only move we had left. And they obviously got our phones capped and stuff and know some bidders coming. Okay, they're going to have an issue on their hands. And they don't want to do that. They've got big billionaire backers, they claim. They've even told that in the court. We'll see what happens. Alex Jones bankruptcy trustee sale efforts challenged by DOJ. That's because they're getting ready to try to take Trump out. And once he's president-elect, they don't want us on air during that fight. They don't want us telling the truth. We're reaching tens of millions conservatively a day. Some days 50, 60 million now. I can't do this without funding. I'm out of money. They took all my money, and it wasn't a lot during the bankruptcy. I am literally on empty myself, and I have to pay for the legal challenges of all this in court, and I have to fight them, and that's an hour-long story right there. They're trying to take my physical name and say they own it, trying to take my social media. This is a critical fight. So I need you to go to the alexjonesstore.com that's separate from free speech, but they're advertisers here, big supporters, and get Alex Jones t-shirts, Patriot t-shirts. There's new great designs. We'll put some on screen for you. And go to the alexjonesstore.com and get the ball caps, the t-shirts, all of it. You can get entered to win for the big pickup truck at $10,000 cash and all that. And then contest is over on the 30th of October, strangely enough. We need the funds. These are great t-shirts. I need your aid. Go to the alexjonesstore.com right now and support that sponsor. That's the critical place to support, the alexjonesstore.com. Stand with us and support our outside sponsor, DrJonesNaturals.com, and the InfoWars store. The products are ready to ship. You'll get them. InfoWarsStore.com, the InfoWars MD, the gummies, the CBD tincture, the nitric boost. It's all there at InfoWarsStore.com. Now go now.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I appreciate you being here, and it's a great honor. Thank you to Alex Jones and the entire InfoWars team for allowing me to host. And what Alex Jones just said there in the message couldn't be more true and more important. The great sign of the guys who are telling the truth is when the lawfare breaks out at the level it has against Alex Jones and also my good friend and mentor, Steve Bannon. These are two individuals I've been linked to since I've shown signs of political success myself. And that's pretty much the reason why they're going after those two, because what they're saying resonates. What they're saying resonates with people. What they're saying resonates with a growing movement in this country that's ready to change the status quo of corruption. And Alex Jones, right in the crosshairs, obviously. I mean, I don't have to explain it to you, but I will reiterate and echo those sentiments that we have to support people like Alex Jones. And they can call me a conspiracy theorist or a radical or an extremist or whatever they want. We were able to win a Minnesota statewide primary. We love embracing Alex Jones. We love the InfoWars audience. We're not hiding. We're not hiding who we are. I had somebody come up to me today at the Vikings game in front of the stadium and say, hey, I heard you hosting on Alex Jones the other day. So things are starting to change. They can't hide the truth forever, but they will try to suppress it. Yeah, and we can't let them do that. It's part of our duty, our civic duty as American citizens. Freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, our freedoms are fundamental to our American identity and our citizenship. It has a value. We got to protect that value and fight for that value. Now, what I was talking about before the break is we cannot let the fear of everything that's happened in this country reach a level where we are afraid. We are too afraid to go down into the places that we need to go to change minds and hearts to win. We just, there's no sense in even talking about politics if you're not willing to go somewhere to meet somebody on the road that disagrees with you and talk to them and try to change their mind. There's no reason to talk about politics anymore. Just stop. Just, you know, do whatever you're going to do. But to talk about politics or complain is meaningless because it's not going to change unless we change it. We, the people, we have the power to change it. We have the power. Our founding fathers were brilliant, and they get the freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, just like I'm saying just a moment ago, is the greatest tool we've been given. No matter what the mainstream media lines up against us, just like Alex Jones did there in the airport, went right up to Dr. Collins and got in his grill and said, we know that you lied. We have the same power to do that, only the difference is Dr. Collins does know that he lied. He does know what this establishment's agenda is. He actually is in on the end. He's in on the information. He's in on the agenda. These people that you meet out in the street, for the most part, a vast majority of them, they do not know. It's a perfect example. Look here, Dr. Collins, he's walking there like he's a regular guy. He knows. He's in on the agenda. Those people that are standing back there behind him that are just going to get on their flight, they have no clue what's really going on in this country, and that is by intentional and brilliant design. They have no clue what's happening in the world around them for the most part. They believe MSNBC. They believe CNN. They believe the New York Times. They believe the Wall Street Journal. They believe what they are told. We are that patriotic rebel force that is trying to help people wake up and realize all of these institutions have every incentive and motive you could possibly imagine to lie to you. Control at this level of this many people has to start with lies. It has to start with misinformation and propaganda. This is not rocket science. This isn't political science. This is basic fundamental math. They have to lie. Propaganda is the only way you can control the minds of this many people. The other way is bread and circuses. Yeah, sports is one of them. And I love it. Yeah, I've been a lifelong Viking fan. I was there right in front of the TV as a small child, praying that Gary Anderson made the field goal back in 98. And he, you know, shanked it to the left. And, you know, Gary Anderson's probably a great guy. I never really met him in person. But you know, he was an incredible field goal kicker. He made a bunch of kicks. He made over the course of his career. When he got right up to the moment to send us to the Super Bowl, he shanked one. I'm sure wherever he is, he's still kicking himself, at night because of it. Hopefully he's let it go, because at the end of the day, it's just a game. But the point I'm making is, I'm a lifelong Vikings fan. You know, I was there today and the Vikings won, and I'm happy about that because we all share some sense of community, some pride in our community, some pride in the place that we live. And that's why team sports is so popular. And you go back down, I can't tell you how many people I saw today out in front that were from Iowa State, that were Iowa State grads. And there are a lot of them out there. I meet them all across the country, and they're spread out all across the country. And we have that sense of pride in Iowa State, in Iowa State's sports, in Iowa State as a school. And that's good. Some of that is good. The question is, do you let that consume you? Do you let that dominate your identity to the point? Do you let that dominate your focus to the point where you lose sight of everything else? Most of things that are much more important. Do you lose sight of those things in the shadow of your fanaticism, your fandom? That's the real question here. And it's not just about sports. Sports is one example. It's probably the best example. Because if you look at the metrics of what draws the most crowds on live television, for example, professional sports is far out in the head in terms of what draws the biggest live audience on all of live television. Okay. And presidential debates and things like that would also be high up there, which kind of tells you something about what our political entertainment has become. And a lot of it is entertainment by design. Okay. You know, it kind of turtles all the way down. But my point is there's good there. There is good there. We have to see the good. We have to understand the good. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we have to be hyper focused that we don't allow sports, entertainment, music, bread and circuses, to distract us from everything else going on, especially at this moment in our nation's history, because we are on the verge of losing our freedoms. And even more dangerous than that, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I was thinking about this today. The system is working so well. You could see a scenario where they would find a way to make sure everything continues to work relatively well. The question is, do we as Americans believe that part of our civic duty and our American citizenship is to ensure that it works at a fundamental level for as many people as humanly possible? And that answer in the future is going to be no. In the future, you may still be able to go and get on the light rail, the local transportation train here in town. You may still be able to go get on the light rail. You may still be able to go get in your vehicle, drive downtown Minneapolis Park, tailgate, have a beer, have a bite to eat, go into the game, you know, pay electronically. In the future, they'll do an eye scan. It'll be a fingerprint or you know, facial recognition, whatever the case may be. You may still be able to do those things, but your fellow American citizens will slowly lose their rights and freedoms. And even furthermore, they will slowly start to disappear. And you'll look up eventually and you'll go, wow, well, there used to be 70,000 people here. And now there's only 30,000. And you ask yourself, well, what good would that do this establishment? What good would it do to pull consumers? And when you think about consumers, don't just think about the profit and the money. Think about consumers as a metric of human energy. Okay. When we talk about energy, when you talk about money and currency, what you're really talking about is the exchange of energy. That's what currency really is. Why would they do that? Well, again, you see the population as stagnant. But the people like Dr. Collins, they see the population from a 30,000 foot view, and they see it as always increasing. Now, there are people who are starting to point out the fact that we might have a population problem, but it depends on which side of that football you're on. Like, I mean, go back to World War II. I mean, you think we lost 75 million people during World War II in 6 years. I think we're so desensitized to exponential math. I don't know that people fully grasp that level of death. We lost 75 million people. 75 million people in 6 years. It's unbelievable. It's unfathomable that we lose that many people in 6 years. But we did. We did, and it begs the question, you know, this high end level of the establishment of the agenda, they already talk about population control. They talk about there being too many people on the planet. They talk about the need to go back to a time where the population would be much smaller and thus much more manageable. And that is part of their agenda. And right now, you may still be able to go to a football game and enjoy it. And I'm not telling you shouldn't, but you for damn sure better at least be thinking somewhere in your mind how important this political season is and the others that are going to come in the near future to try and stifle and spoil that agenda. That at least has to be on your mind. And then have fun. Have fun. Enjoy your football games. Enjoy your basketball games. Enjoy your college sports. Enjoy all of them. Enjoy your high school sports. I coach my son's AAU team. You know, sports in a way is an example professional sports is in a way, it's an example of the microcosm of little platoons that help America go, that help America thrive, that help America be America. The little platoons of the mom and the dad and the family and the, you know, taking the daughter to soccer practice or the son to, and volunteer coaches in pee wee football and, you know, going to those school boards, being on that school board. Right. So professional sports is kind of a macrocosm of those little platoons. I'm not telling you there's no value in it. There's value in it. There's a lot of value in it. A lot of what shaped me into what I am today was done right there on a concrete or cement or asphalt basketball court at a park in a neighborhood that they tell you is too dangerous for you to go to. But I was able to survive out there playing basketball by myself. Now, could I have been hit by a straight bullet? Weren't that many instances where I was in danger of being hit by a straight bullet, but it happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen across the country. The point is, you and I, we have to be willing to go down there, or I guarantee you, long term, we will lose this country. Why am I saying this? There's a story that's broken now in the last 24 hours. If you're on X and you see the trending Janet Jackson story, I want to talk about this Janet Jackson thing for a moment because it's very interesting cultural signal. Janet Jackson supposedly was asked about Kamala Harris. She said, I heard Kamala Harris isn't black and that her father is white, or he identifies as white. Okay. Now, I got to say this because first, let's get this out of the way. All of these people out here who say, let's not talk about race, cut it out. Take your kiddie ball and you go back to the kiddie side of the park. Okay. Race is a part of this country. It's a part of this country's history. It's a part of this country's current. It's a part of the culture today. There's nothing we can do about that. How we talk about it is what we can do about it. How we think about it, how we engage in that conversation is what we can do about it. But there is no good sense of thinking that we can pull race or color out of our cultural conversations or out of our culture today. That is fantasy. Okay. So it's perfectly reasonable to talk about Kamala Harris's identity and ethnicity, especially since she wants to use it as the springboard to garner the blind faith of all of these black people. And Janet Jackson, and why am I bringing this up? Because it's such an important cultural signal, again, for the Democrat Party and their platform and how it's starting to crumble, how Marxism always starts to implode on itself. They actually think they can go after Janet Jackson. They think they can cancel Janet Jackson. That's what's hilarious. They're not canceling Janet Jackson. You know, one person, as soon as one person says, I think a little differently than the rest of the Democrat Party, all of a sudden, they're immediately cast into the fire and left for dead. And say, you know, we're going to cancel. Like they try to say Janet Jackson is irrelevant. Let me tell you all something. Okay. Let me be very clear with you. If you don't understand how influential mainstream media and some of these popular music icons are, then show up at a concert the same way you do at a football game, and you'll see there are very few things left in our society that even get people to come out in person. Yeah, you can still order. You can order anything you want from Amazon. You can order anything you want from Uber Eats or Instacart. You can, you know, it started off as food in restaurants. Now just bring me my Kleenex from Target vis-a-vis my mobile app. Okay. So you really don't have to leave the house that much. And now your work is going to be remote too. And even I was at the, listen to some remote learning. Everybody has a digital remote learning day now in their school week. Okay. So they're shaping society to where you voluntarily give up your freedom of movement, where it's culturally conceded that we don't really have to leave our homes. Very easy to control you. One of the Trojan horses of technology. Yeah. We're going to bring everything to you. Don't worry. You don't got to go anywhere. Okay. Okay. Well, go see one of these Taylor Swift concerts. People still coming out in person. And I can't stand her. But the point is, as far as Billboard success goes, Janet Jackson is ahead of Taylor Swift. Y'all ain't canceling Janet Jackson out there. Sorry. The Democrat Party is getting sloppy. this mainstream media liberal mainstream media industrial complex, you're getting sloppy. You're getting sloppy. You're way out over your skis, and I love it. I love because you just ran into a brick wall. It happened also with Kyrie Irving. Never forget. Never forget they tried to cancel Kyrie Irving. One of the best basketball players of all time, and I'm a pretty good basketball player myself, but when you talk about pure skill and talent, Kyrie Irving is one of the best basketball players of all time. And you all remember when he posted the clip of Alex Jones talking about how this entire information war is being waged, and they tried to cancel him. But it didn't start with Alex Jones. It started when they tried to mandate him to take a vaccine, and he said no. And now in retrospect, we see Alex Jones is right a lot, but we also see that that vaccine mandate had very little merit to it. But they tried to cancel him. They tried to cancel him. They called him anti-Semitic and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, he pops up on the Dallas Mavericks, and they make a deep, deep run. Now he has his own sneaker. He's doing fine is what I'm saying. They couldn't cancel him. That they tried to, but they couldn't. Janet Jackson the same way. She's number 7 all time on the Billboard list, ahead of her brother Michael Jackson, who in many eyes is the king of pop, okay? You can't cancel Janet Jackson. You can't, and black people out there, we understand if you were born in the 90s, I'm the first United States senator in American history to be born in the 1990s, first nominated senator to be born in the 1990s. If you were born in the 90s in a black household, Janet Jackson is unimpeachable almost in what she contributed to R&B. And I mean, she is, I'm not saying she can do no wrong. What I'm saying is, compared to Kamala Harris, who is Kamala Harris in the shadow of Janet Jackson? I challenge anybody listening to this right now to go to your phone or wherever you get your music. You go download Velvet Rope, the album, and you go play Velvet Rope today on this Sunday morning, and you open up some windows and pull those blinds back and get some fresh air, and you tell me that that album doesn't make your day feel a little bit better. What has Kamala Harris ever done for the black community? She wasn't even identifying as black. And I like Janet Jackson for saying it. And now they're going to call Janet. She's going to get the call, and she's going to apologize and walk the statements back. But her first instinct is the instinct that many black people are having. And I only bring it up to say, don't be scared to go down into the metropolitan areas, because they're already starting to think the same thing you think out there. The narrative is crumbling. The race narrative is crumbling. Don't be afraid to give it a push. Kick on it a little bit. Kick on it a little bit and see what it yields. We got 30 to 45 days to save this republic. We got to take the kitty gloves off, deal with things as they are, not as we wish they would be. We're not canceling Janet Jackson. Sports are great, but we can't let it consume us. But we have to acknowledge how effective they are, and we have to go to those places ourselves to start to combat the narrative. This has been another episode of the Alex Jones Show. It's been an honor to host. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Make sure you stop at that InfoWars store and support the great Alex Jones. We love you, brother. I'll be back with you again, I'm sure. Godspeed. The fight continues. And don't forget, the people are coming. We the people.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements and it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply. Especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt effects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Let me take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Alex Jones Show. I am your host for the hour, Jason Burmis, and today we're going to be talking about a subject, again, that transcends left and right and is a reality when it comes to what's really going on in space. I've got news for everybody. I know it sounds nice. I know people want to believe in it, but we're not going to Mars at all. That's imagination land. So the first place I'm going to start is here, okay? We're seeing these headlines everywhere. Trump is now ludicrously saying that we're going to go to Mars during his administration. Now, he's not even talking about human beings. He's talking about landing a large-scale rocket on Mars on the movement to put human beings there. Now, the reason I'm choosing this as a subject is because we have to realize that the vast majority of our space program is, one, about weapons and communication systems. It is weaponizing space on a mass level, okay? That's numero uno, and we're going to show you that in a moment. Then we have to also understand it's putting us into the virtual arena, all right? And when we talk about that virtual arena, we are also talking about transhumanism as well. These are the three main things that our space program, NASA, SpaceX, and beyond are really about. We've got to illustrate that. Now, first of all, we're going to start here, okay? This is a real plan. The old Musker nuts retweeted this, okay? So this is a real announcement. Within 2 years, the first uncrewed starships launched to Mars during the next Earth-Mars transfer window to test landing reliability. Now, listen. Just the rocket stuff we have going on here, what's currently going on the ISS, we're also going to illustrate that these astronauts who were supposed to be there for a couple days are now stuck there until about February. They're about 250 miles above the planet in low Earth orbit. That has to be illustrated. We'll get there in a moment. 4 years, the first crewed flights to Mars. If the uncrewed landings, it's not real. It's, guys, let's look at some numbers right now, okay? First of all, before we get there, I want people to understand that space is obviously not a uniform thing. Just like we don't always know what's going on around our planet, and I think that NASA has a place that we do need to learn more about our Earth, but that's the thing. Science is ever changing. I mean, this isn't an old headline. It's from a couple weeks ago. Okay? NASA discovers an invisible electric field surrounding the Earth, claiming it is as important as gravity. Now, I want people to understand this. There is so much going on around us that is invisible to the eye that even transcends the technology that we have now developed. Yes, we have created wireless networks of information and beyond. But when you look at the magnetosphere, the ionosphere, the stratosphere, the discovery of even the Van Allen radiation belts, by the way, that came right before the Apollo missions during Gemini. Okay, so not that long ago. And allegedly, human beings for the first time since the Apollo missions, and for the first time women ever, you think that'd be a big story, just went past the Van Allen belts, actually. So just so everybody understands that, this Polaris Dawn, which we're going to get into, that just took place, it is essential to understand how far we really may be in putting humans in space. We got a jam-packed hour for you, and you're going to want to pay attention. Tons of clips, so much important stuff going on. InfoWarsStore.com is where you can get the great supplements, the products. Support this broadcast. Support Alex Jones. We're going to be back with more InfoWars after this.
Naturally sourced from the finest hemp plants in America, Rebel Zen offers the absolute finest quality CBD available and at the lowest prices. Extracted using a cold pressed technique to retain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids and terpenes within the plant, this full spectrum formula ensures that your nervous system gets the full benefits of CBD. Premium quality organic CBD like Rebel Zen has been shown to naturally reduce anxiety, relieve pain, and decrease inflammation. People have reported a reduction in symptoms of insomnia, arthritis, seizures, chronic pain, and epilepsy. Several studies have shown it helps to reduce cortisol, increase serotonin, and boost vitality. Order yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
You found it, the tip of the spear. It is the Alex Jones Show.
I hear people talk,
and we are back with the Alex Jones Show. I am your guest host, Jason Burmes. We are talking about the reality behind what's going on in space, the Polaris Dawn spacewalk, and where we've been historically and where I imagine we are going. Now, first and foremost, when we talk about these spacewalks, they have a long and storied history, okay? And again, prior to this spacewalk of Polaris Dawn that was not even 1,000 miles above the Earth, but above the Van Allen radiation belts, the only time human beings have been beyond that is Apollo. And by the way, the Russians, they've only been just about under 300 miles officially, even though they were kicking our arness in the space race. First spacewalk, first multi-crewed mission, first woman in space also, breaking gender barriers back in the day, Soviet Union style. Now, I'd encourage people to go read this because, look, I think, and here it is, this is that spacewalk we're talking about via Russia. We don't want the audio here. We can do without that. Let's grab that off. Okay, and again, whooping us. Well, and notice he's tethered there. Well, later on, you know, when we're supposedly beating these guys, I hear some tethered stuff. We supposedly go untethered. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm pretty skeptical of that as well. But if you look at what they pitched to you, say 2001, A Space Odyssey style, they basically said that these things were going to be reality with these little mini boosters on them. They utilized them in the Gravity movie. Here's another one of the booster packs, untethered. Look, if you want to look at what they're telling you is the recorded history of spacewalks, I encourage you to check this article out. Now, we're talking about human beings. Let's just get to the moon, okay? Because supposedly last year, and this year we were supposed to send humans to the moon again, another promise that never came to fruition, no kidding. They sent Snoopy to the moon. No, I'm not kidding. No, you can't make this up. But supposedly, they did an unmanned rocket around the moon. Okay, not landing, but around it. We're going to get to the distance there. This Polaris Dawn spacewalk is just under 1,000 miles. The moon, that's Mars. We'll get there in a second, is almost 250,000. Okay, and then you got to come back. So again, just think about the numbers that you have to meet. Forget about the possibility of space debris, asteroid fields, encountering things you didn't know about, like that invisible magnetic force. As important as gravity, you're just figuring out that's somewhere else. Imagine all that. You're circumventing that 240,000 miles. And I want to remind people, before they landed on the moon on Christmas Eve, they said they did that. They circumvented it. Human beings on there. They said a prayer. You can go watch that video as well. We're not even going to bore you there. Okay? So now they're telling you Mars. Some say 140 million. This is 120 million. When I say some, you can see it right there. There's 140 million miles. Allegedly, when the movement is just right and the launch is just right, I think you can get within 40 million. They're saying a 6-month trip for a human being just to get there. And I want to reiterate, no way of knowing how you would get back. 120 million. Compared to the spacewalk of under 1,000 miles, are you starting to grip that? Are you starting to grasp the reality? All right. So now we're going to have some fun, okay? We've got NASA administrator after administrator, including their chief scientist, telling you back in 2016, about 8 years ago, that's not, none of this is real. I know that's inconvenient, but again, I want to remind people, we've been weaponizing space since the Reagan administration through the Strategic Defense Initiative program. We've created an information skin around the planet, also talked about at this conference in 2016, which we're going to illustrate. And I talked about transhumanism, the metaverse, virtual reality. Now you're going to see where it comes into play. What's real? What's science fiction? You're going to hear about nanobots, possible biomimetics. Those type of things. That's the reality. So let's cut to this clip right here. Okay. And you're going to find out right now that you've got Charles Bolden, 2016, telling you what the first things on Mars are going to be. And it's not human beings. Okay.
You've got to be thinking 30, 40, 50 years out. And Andy is absolutely right. And I tell people all the time, the very first things on the surface of Mars are going to be robots.
Right.
You know, think about what we do for American forces today around the world. We don't send soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines often into a very hot area first. We try to get in and make the environment safe for them using robots or whatever.
Usually I can send missiles in
first.
Yeah,
but we're actually, I imagine there's going to be a fleet of robots. Maybe humanoid. They don't have to look like humans. They're going to establish the habitat. They're going to go in because with 3D printing, we can put a fleet of robots on the surface of Mars. We may find, based on what we know about the radiation environment, that we want to go underground rather than, you know, have huts on the surface that get blown away in the wind that doesn't exist. But that was a critical part. I tell my wife, it's a movie.
So just so you know, the guy laughing over there that he's talking about, and we're going to get to the woman in the middle who's from Rocketdyne. That's the guy behind The Martian, which is, again, the Hollyweird perception of Mars with Matt Damon. And Bolden's pointing out that, you know, we don't even know there's wind or an atmosphere on Mars. We're not sending human beings to Mars, okay? And he, think about the fact that he talked about humanoid-type robots first. How far away from that are we, and who's behind that as well? Oh, that's right. Tesla is building the Optimus robot. And that's if we're talking about, you know, non-biomimetic robotics, which we'll get to in a moment.
Okay. Very, very important part. But it may be that robots dig under, you know, go subterranean and establish the habitat. Anybody ever do, you know, build houses for charitable reasons? You don't go there and there are no 2x4s on the lot. There are prefab structures, so you get eaves and walls, and that's what we're going to do on Mars. But we're going to print it, I think.
Also, they're going to use 3D printing. Okay. So now the next clip is going to go even further and tell you that these nanobots that they send, not just full-fledged robots, are going to be the first thing. And they're going to survey Mars. And then once they send back that data, then you can virtually visit Mars at any point. Now, this is, again, an interview from 2016, separate from this. It's an audio interview. And this person actually brings up Ray Kurzweil first, in a transhumanist perspective. And then he actually gets corrected by Dennis Bushnell, former chief scientist of NASA, up until like 2 years ago, retired a couple years ago. He was there pre-Apollo, Gemini days. And he says, no, this is Hans Moravec. And I believe Lights in the Tunnel is one of his books and publications on not just transhumanism, but essentially post-humanism. Okay? So let's play this clip.
And you were talking about robot exploration, and I'd mentioned Ray Kurzweil to you, and you'd said that he'd spoken at NASA. And to me, the way that you described robots almost as kind of like the children of mankind really stuck with me, and it put what we're doing on Mars right now.
So Kurzweil speaking at NASA, that's, of course. I mean, again, there's a NASA-Google partnership, okay? They've claimed quantum supremacy together. They work on artificial intelligence together. Okay, but children of man, that's also a Moravec thing.
In a new perspective for me.
Well, that quote, robots being the children of mankind, is actually from Hans Moravec from Carnegie Mellon. He has various books on this. Robot is one of them from the early 00s, as I remember. And the idea is that we are currently becoming cyborgs at a very fast rate. The IBM Blue Brain Project, which is nanosectioning the neocortex and replicating it in silicon, has made such good progress that they are claiming in 12 to 15 years they will be able to market a biomimetic human-level machine intelligence.
So again, this is about 2000, you know, 16-ish, maybe even a little bit earlier, but I believe 2016. So they're talking about that 2030 marker that you hear again and again and again.
The nano functionalization of robots is continuing apace very rapidly. So there's no reason why in the 15 to 25 year out, that exploration can't be done very well with robots at a cost which has been estimated at about 1/1,000th that of sending humans. So one way to do this exploration of Mars and so forth is three stages. One is to send the nanorobots and instrument the planet and send back the data. And the Brits demonstrated 5 senses, virtual reality, haptic taste, touch, smell, sight, and sound recently. So everyone could explore Mars anytime they wanted to at 1/1,000th the cost of sending people.
So there you go. You know, before any human being steps on Mars, the nanobots are going to survey the planet, and they'll give you the virtual Mars arena. Now, let's turn the music down here. I want people to also understand the World Economic Forum also partners with NASA and is a very big part of this agenda. Now, aside from creating technology, NASA tech, that can, like, hone in on your heartbeat, because that's as significant an individual as your facial recognition, as your finger and thumbprints, as a surveillance tool in another video they show you. This is them talking kind of about that virtual Mars, okay? They're looking for people practice living on Mars. You understand? So they want to build, you heard about 3D printing on Mars? Well, they want to 3D print a simulator for these people to live in. Okay? I mean, think about that. This is a center out of Houston, Texas. The module's smaller than a tennis court. Okay? And the circumstances it could face on Mars. Listen, they're building this virtual idea of Mars. The reality of sending rockets and human beings to Mars is absolutely, utterly ridiculous. And, you know, we're going to come back to what they're actually doing on space. And I just want to say, look, I am a dork. You know, I mean, every time I pick these things up, I'm not one of those people who thinks that space is fake. No, I think there are varying degrees of misinformation, disinformation, and total and complete propaganda that were fed about space and the programs. But what they're doing there is very, very real. And it's a multitude of things under different guises, that are essentially privatized in many respects. Now, let's start with, Scott Kelly here. Okay. Now, Scott Kelly, as you're going to see, This is not Scott. This is another individual. We're going to pause this because we want to bring up the volume a little bit. He was on a trip with this gentleman for almost a year. I think they were out there. It devastates your body. You can't even walk off the spacecraft, and they're monitoring you forever. Okay, now, best case scenario, again, 6 months on the ship there and then maybe getting back. Physically, human beings in space is a whole separate problem that almost never gets us discussed, especially in long term.
We were both involved in experiments to understand better how to keep people alive for longer periods of time.
And by the way, Scott Kelly's brother, Mark Kelly, I believe he's Congress, not a senator, but he's a twin. And even NASA has done twin programs with him as well. Okay? Those type of experimentations.
Space. You start doing this right when you get out of the capsule. You know, the idea is to measure your performance right when you get out of the vehicle. Let's say you landed on Mars.
And just so everybody understands, they just love pumping Mars. This is in Kazakhstan, okay? So before Musk started launching astronauts back up into the ISS, Kazakhstan, in this program with, of course, Russia, because ISS is International Space Station, that's where the vast majority of this stuff was being launched out of.
Try to understand what your physical capability is. You walk with your eyes closed, like foot to foot, which is hard even when you haven't been in space for a year, especially on this uneven ground of Kazakhstan. You get in an airplane flies to Norway, and you do it there. And then it gets back to Houston, and you do them here again before you even get to go home. You're doing these tests for weeks.
When do I do this again?
Wednesday.
What? Like in 2 days, Wednesday?
Yes.
Eventually.
So there you see it again. It takes a while for you to regain your strength. Your muscle tissue degrades, your bone tissue, all right? Space is a very dangerous place. So I want to also show you don't just launch rockets whenever you want, if you've got the actual rockets to launch. And by the way, I want to put this out there. I have no idea what's going on in black projects with propulsion systems. We are going to show you some ion propulsion systems, et cetera, some mini jet stuff that doesn't get talked about but is a reality. Who knows where we've actually been, okay? Human beings, very far, I'm extremely skeptical of. Propulsion system-wise with just rockets, I'm extremely skeptical of that as well. But I do believe we have other types of technology that, of course, would have to be classified, not just because of space exploration, but their weapons potential and use. That, again, just reality. Okay, so let's talk about the ISS and the fact that you now have people stuck up there possibly till February. They've already been stuck up there months. And they keep easing the situation. This is a report from a month ago.
Now on day 63 of what was supposed to be a 10-day mission, NASA today said astronauts Butch Wilmore and Sonny Williams may remain in space until February.
Butch and Sonny would remain on station and become part of that increment and return home with them on Crew 9.
Crew 9 is a SpaceX mission to the station set to launch in late September, returning next year. For months, NASA has insisted Wilmore and Williams are not stuck in space. Years behind schedule, Boeing's troubled Starliner launched on a test flight in early June. But Starliner has remained docked to the space station, with mission managers divided over whether it's safe to bring Wilmore and Williams home.
And by the way, that's another thing people have to understand about Boeing. They're a large military-industrial complex contractor for this type of work. And SpaceX actually surpassed them. And another part of this agenda, you know, we often talk about that 2030 agenda of restricting your access to travel to geographical areas. Well, they want to revamp the entire flying industry, airports, et cetera, and automate them further. And I think that they've been using Boeing to demonize that situation. I'm not saying they're a good company, but look at this as well. They're falling apart, et cetera. They're passing the torch to other types of really techno-fascistic normalities. And not only SpaceX, but Blue Origin, which is Bezos' outfit, all right? So, again, we'll even see if these guys get back in February and what their condition is going to be up. They're supposed to be there for 10 days. They've been there for months now. All right. So what are some of the technologies that they are utilizing? Well, let's start with this one. What do we want to start? I want to start with the ion propulsion system and 3D printing rockets, right? We've talked a lot of 3D printing. So let's move on to that right there.
You know, things like solar electric propulsion, another thing I like saying. So kind of blow our hair back. Give us a sense of like what you guys are working on, you know, that's really cool and how it fits into all this.
You know, we're working on, like you said, we support government, we support commercial, and we do primarily propulsion, which is engines, big engines, motors, those type of things, as well as power. The key things, you know, neat things we're working on today, we're doing ion propulsion, which is a form of electric propulsion, and it reduces the mass. You talk about bringing the cost down. Everything we throw off the planet now has to go on a rocket that costs quite a bit of money. So the smaller you can make it, the cheaper it gets. So we have solar electric propulsion that we'll be putting on these next missions. We're working the technology on NASA contracts and internal.
And by the way, this also works into small cube satellites. This woman is from Rocketdyne, all right? And right here is where she's going to move into those 3D printed rockets and also talk about, again, a lot of rocket technology is still classified.
And it'll half or one-tenth the size, depending on how we do that. So that's one thing. And it looks just like you see the blue glow from the old Star Trek. It looks just like that, and it is like that. So we're printing rockets now. You know, we're doing 3D printing of whole rockets, and a number of people are doing it. And the hard thing about
that... So does that mean I can illegally download a rocket?
You know, well, I probably shouldn't talk about that. You know, rocket technology is still protected, right? No, but it gets to that. You get a model, and you can do that. The really big ones you can't do yet, but you can certainly do the smaller ones.
This is 8 years ago, and they're talking about printing in one piece smaller rockets. And you know what the bigger ones look like. I mean, take a look at what is on the bottom of one of these launch vessels via SpaceX. They're massive.
We talk about the small sats. We can actually print a whole CubeSat propulsion system in one pass. And those are things that, you know, bring down not just the cost of the product. They're more efficient. They bring down time. And all of this just continues to fuel the cycle, like as George was saying it. So it's really a transformative time. We're building off the things that we've put in place for the last few decades, but now we can actually take them that next step.
And they are taking that next step because it's not just these type of 3D printing technologies we're hearing about. You heard about space? Well, how about 3D printing human organs in space? That's another big part of this. This is why we're talking transhumanism. We're going to get into biomimetics and other type of technologies, hydrogels as well. But before we go to break, here you go. Let's 3D print some organs over on the ISS.
Welcome back. A Florida company is making history this weekend, launching the first 3D bioprinter into space. Redwire will attempt to 3D print a human knee meniscus. This is all part of creating a way to 3D print replacement organs. So why space? Well, it's because you can print the organs with gravity turned off so the organs do not collapse. Joining us now is Rich Bowling. Thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
It's great to be with you this morning on the eve of what we hope is a pretty important launch.
Oh, absolutely. So this project combines science, medicine, and technology. Can you tell us a little more about it so our viewers get a sense of what it is?
Everyone is just so happy about this. I'll tell you what it is. It is them doing this. And I had Greg Autry, who authored the book Red Moon Rising with Peter Navarro, talking about this technology and also hydrogels. Very excited. When you're printing on Earth because of gravity, everything wants to be stacked. Right? It wants to be hard. There is no gravity. So the way our organs often work, it is in a 3D manner where they're not necessarily on top of each other. And that technology allows this to be a better version, possibly, because we really don't know. And we don't really know if a general public is going to be able to partake in these technologies. I can tell you this. You can partake in InfoWarsStore.com. Go get the great products, the books, the videos, and beyond. This is the Alex Jones Show, and we'll be back with more after this.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss, it equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are, and that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taking place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around, because stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com.
And I'm starting to give people the bad news. Folks, it's all over. We need to get ready now. People need to go to KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. You need to get ready. This is the place to go. I love them. They're great sponsors. They're great people. Or you can call 720-605-3900. In my opinion, you are insane if you don't get into silver right now and get some gold. And I wish I could do it. I'm under enemy attack. It's okay. It's fine. And I'm just looking at all of you, wishing I was in the position you're in right now, because I wish this wasn't the case, but I intellectually and spiritually know I'm 100% right. And I think you all know it too. We are screwed. But the good news is humanity's waking up, and we're going to turn this around. So buckle up, folks. Buckle up and get ready now, because the greatest crisis of all of our lives is happening now. And I'm just the watchman on the wall, the Paul Revere, telling you the New World Order's coming. It's here.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs, only at InfoWarsStore.com.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
We are back. It is the Alex Jones Show. I am Jason Burmes, and we are talking about the realities regarding space travel, experimentation, NASA, SpaceX, etc., and beyond, because they've really partnered together a long time ago, and we're going to show you some clips of that as well. But I promised you hydrogels, so you are going to get hydrogels. Now, at least in the, I would say, alternative media arena, a lot of people began to question the hydrogel technology during the COVID-1984 nightmare because they began to realize with mRNA and other bio-nanotechnologies, there were certain types of distribution systems that they were already looking into. Well, guess what? NASA, a very large part of those types of technologies and distribution systems.
Meet Elaine, one of the co-founders of Tympanogen, a medical device startup based in Virginia. Her company is developing a gel patch that can serve as a replacement for eardrum repair surgery. That could have huge benefits here on Earth. But launch that gel to space, and the opportunities for use grow even more. First, we have to back up a few steps. Putting your life's work on top of a rocket may seem like a daunting task, but there's a system in place to help scientists who know nothing about spaceflight get their research into orbit. You see, NASA and its international partners aren't the only source of science aboard the space station. The ISS U.S. National Laboratory creates pathways to space for companies, universities, and even young students.
So again, when you talk about the companies, especially, and the universities, these are the same systems that you saw in play, and yeah, I'm going to make this comparison with things like MKUltra, okay? Just different avenues and methods of medicine, command, control technology. Just pointing that out.
If you're starting a journey into the unknown, it helps to have an expert at your side to navigate the way. The National Lab connects researchers with implementation partners who provide resources and guidance for taking an experiment from Earth to microgravity. Elaine and her team are working with NanoRacks.
They have the plate reader on the space station that's going to be used for our project, and they're coordinating the launch and getting all the materials together for us. We're glad that we're working with them because we're glad that somebody has done this before and can help us along with the process.
And I'm just going to say this, you know, again, I watch a lot of the old school stuff and I watch a lot of the new school stuff. In fact, NASA had its own television network. They've, I think, moved it all the way online. When you go there, it tells you to go to this URL. But you notice the young, attractive women, you're seeing that all over in NASA. It's a rebranding of everything along with these same SDGs and the climate agenda, which these guys are a huge part of as well. So we're going to get into that in a moment, but I want to talk about this really quickly. And this is them using auto bioluminescent, nanotechnology. And again, I just want to throw a little something out there from the COVID-1984 nightmare. Remember that whole thing, luciferase? Where they had this bioluminescence in some of these hate and lies shots. Just, I know, conspiracy theories. Look into it. It was admitted. And by the way, the amount put in there, a little bit sketchy. But when you're talking about genetically modified organisms and bioluminescence, it's been going on publicly for decades. In fact, on this very network, 2008, 2009, I was talking about the bioluminescent pigs that they had genetically created. They had infused them with a type of jellyfish DNA, and that literally made them glow in the dark and be neon pigs. Okay? So here we are. Again, when I talk about these companies, they're in it to win it, and they're utilizing that technology on the ISS.
Bioluminescence itself has been around for a very, very long time. Our technology, which we call autobioluminescence, that allows cells to basically talk to us and tell us about their level of health. So when they're happy and healthy, they make a ton of light. And when they start to get sick, that light gets dim. People like drug development companies, academic researchers, scientists across the world spend lots of money and they use lots of crazy different materials in order to encourage cells to grow in three-dimensional structures. The International Space Station allows cells to do this with no external materials required. We want to be able to demonstrate that we can use microgravity to improve drug development.
Think about that, 490 biotech. And all of this stuff is dated. None of this is brand new. So now I want to talk about satellite networks that they launched. Now, number one, Let's start with the balloon satellites, which are under low Earth orbit that nobody really talks about. And in more than likelihood, these were NASA satellites, part of an international program, to circumvent the Arctic region where communications are much tougher. That's what Seymour Hersh said when Chinese spy satellites. No, I think that they're putting more and more of these things up. And because of that and human error, a few of them got out of their control system where the public arena is not supposed to see them. But right here, we're going to show you. Okay. And it's a little bit blocked on that one. Let's see if we can get it there. But these satellite systems, are often put up by balloons. This is NASA launch. It's on their own website. They've got a ton of them. They have to bring them in via a truck. You can't see it there. Here, let's do this. Let's see if we can't do it a little dick-a-dick-a-do. You kind of see it on the bottom. You're going to see it in a moment. There you go. There's a nice little shot of it. Okay, there's human beings, and there's the satellite. And remember the last one was like as large as a bus. Okay, so that is part of the weather balloon satellite network. Okay, there's a lot more going on than just that. First, we're going to go back to that 2016 forum, and we're going to talk about partnerships and NASA versus SpaceX. I got news for you. It's a big joke. And they're all the same thing. And they're still promoting this Mars thing because they know it's what the public wants to hear.
When you stood up those programs, they're now flying to LEO, which is low Earth orbit, just to the International Space Station, about 250 miles or so above the Earth. But, you know, these entrepreneurs, they think big. You know, Elon Musk and Richard Branson. And, you know, Elon's talking about going to Mars.
He is.
I wonder, does that put him in competition with NASA?
No.
Explain to me that.
It is not a competition at all. And I think most people in the audience are quite aware that SpaceX recently announced that they were entering into a partnership with us for what they call the Red Dragon. You know, what he's looking at.
Again, a partnership. It's a partnership.
That we want. We look at them coming back and landing on a barge or coming back to the Cape and landing on a mat somewhere. That's what we call, hypersonic or supersonic retro propulsion. We are not doing that right now. We're not investing in that, but we don't need to.
And by the way, that's landing rockets, which are not very successful at, which you would need obviously to send human beings, not just to Mars, but land a rocket on a mass and then come back. Just pointing that out. Now, I want to just, before I show you the historic references to a global information network, which is being created, and really, it's already being utilized, folks. They already have the global information network, and part of that is this, and that is the DARPA Blackjack program, okay, that continues to be funded, they've tried to marginalize it. It gets launched via SpaceX satellites when they launch what? Oh, when they launch, that's a different one. We're going to get into this one right here. When they launch Starlink, which just got its contract extended for 6 months in June. And the reason that I had Russia up here is because when he's talking about being war with NATO and the United States, you know what he mentioned? Their satellite systems. They're satellite systems because they're hooking into the Ghost and the Sidewinder drones. Do you understand how dangerous that is? These satellite systems that are now also being built with Northrop Grumman and Elon Musk, it's out in the open that they're building this spy satellite network, some of which is commercialized, some of which is highly classified, some of which is an extension of that Star Wars program, aka the Strategic Defense Initiative that was launched all the way back in 1983, 40 plus years ago. Now, here you will have a representative from NASA explaining to you this global information network.
Through ISS has been sort of seeding the small sat market, but you can't launch into all the different orbits from ISS. And so, what we'll be able to do with our vehicle launcher one is to put these satellites into other orbits. But I think what's interesting is that the U.S. is now leading a new area, which is the small satellite sector. And, you know, we're going to see tremendous growth. The geostationary, the number of geostationary satellites into, getting launched into orbit isn't really growing right now. But you're going to see this huge growth in small satellite constellations over the coming years.
Which we've seen. Again, this is 8 years ago. All right. And they're constantly launching these things. This is the reality of the space program. Okay.
They will establish essentially a new, information skin for planet Earth that, you know, helps us with navigation and communication and weather and remote sensing.
Now, with the weather and the remote sensing stuff, again, because where are we here? Because I actually watched this, okay, and anybody can get their hands on it, Space Race. They, in the late 70s, early 80s, all of a sudden, NASA is very, very involved in what will become the green movement. It still is. It does a ton of surveillance, not just in the United States and the Arctic region, but globally, period. In fact, with renewables in particular, they talked about the solar propulsion systems, but they were the ones that pioneered using those massive windmills as well. Anybody can look at NASA and their promotion of quote-unquote global warming and climate change, and they are at the apex of that. Now, what do they want to do in response to, oh, humans are bad? They want to regulate everything. Everything. And they think that they can literally technologically micromanage all of the species on the Earth through a thing that they call directed evolution. Okay? But I'm going to let him finish up on this information skin on the planet, which we're going to back it up. Think about this. He says it's a slow pace then, and around 2016 it was. Okay, but more and more over the last 5 years, you've been normalized a string of pearls in the sky.
The U.S. is now leading a new area, which is the small satellite sector. And, you know, we're going to see tremendous growth. The geostationary, the number of geostationary satellites into, getting launched into orbit isn't really growing right now. But you're going to see this huge growth in small satellite constellations over the coming years that will establish essentially a new information skin for planet Earth that, you know, helps us with navigation and communication and weather and remote sensing. And I think it'll be eventually sort of a permanent new skin around the planet. And a lot of that is being catalyzed by the work that was done inside NASA labs and now inside the National Lab at ISS.
So, here, they just briefly discuss different types of micro propulsion systems. Again, if you're thinking that rockets in the state they are taking us these exponential levels. I mean, take a look. Just every time I see it, it's ridiculous. The moon, 250,000. We're going to show you some of Polaris Dawn in a moment and this spacewalk. Almost 250,000 away, and we're talking – instead of that, 121 million to 140 million is Mars. Does it make any sense? No. Instead, what? We're talking about the weaponization of space. And Putin's really openly talking about those satellite systems. This should scare everybody. If you don't think that this is going to be a part of World War III, I don't know what you're watching. So here are the microjet propulsion systems.
These hundreds and thousands of small sets or CubeSats, is their free flyers. They don't have propulsion systems today.
Julie and other propulsion
companies are working on micro jets.
Yeah.
They're micro rockets. Yeah. So in a CubeSat that has the brains from Andy's telephone and a camera that came out of his telephone, it's going to have a little microjet from Julie's
really
company and others.
You got your own phone.
They're going to be able to maneuver around, but most importantly, they're going to be able to comply with the law that says when you put a vehicle in space, it's got to be able to be controlled for a controlled reentry where it will not harm anybody on the ground. And we're going to be able to do that.
But again, the idea any of these things are going to harm you on the ground is also pretty ludicrous. Even Musk has pointed out that there are so few people on the planet that we do have things falling from space all the time, whether it be debris we created or natural debris. I mean, it is It's much less than being hit by lightning, folks. So let's show some of this glare stuff. Turn it on down. And you know, I'm going to skip around here. You get to decide for yourself. Some of this is the helmet cam. Now, I have no doubt that these people are in space. Here, let's bring that one back so you can see as he comes out. The question is, how far out there are they? I have no way of telling you that. I don't know if that's 100 miles above the planet, 200 miles, 400 miles, 500 miles. No clue. They're saying again that largest one since Apollo, 900 miles, not even 1,000, not even 1,000. Look, they lost some communications. Here's the side shot. Now, a lot of people were upset that they didn't get all the way out of the craft. I could care less. You know, when I see the history of spacewalk, from the BBC and I see things like this, they're highly questionable to me. And hey, maybe that's real. Untethered in space, I'd be a little bit worried. Allegedly you're moving and grooving out there, even though you don't feel it because you're in a vacuum. But I've watched enough 2001 Space Odyssey, when Hal, the AI intelligence controlling the, spaceship. And by the way, that's another thing we didn't even really talk about is that space travel now, at least in these rockets that they're showing you, I mean, this is a commercial crew. They're not trained by NASA. Apparently, this one guy is funding a ton of it. One of the astronauts you're seeing come out here, he's actually paying for it, okay? And, you know, I'm not sure what you watch his hands and all this thing. There's plenty of people that believe that none of this is really happening. I have no idea. I think they're in space. It should be a big story, though. Again, the two women on there that again are commercialized, and that's the thing. It's about a feel good story, and it's about the Today Show, and it's about not projecting the things that we all just saw here, and the realities of people internally and what they've said in NASA, but that we can live the dream and we're going to Mars. As human beings, we're going to colonize Mars. You know, let's watch that Today Show talking about the Polaris crew coming out.
Today and this morning, an exciting new milestone in space travel.
Earlier this week, the nation cheered the successful voyage of the Polaris Dawn. It's the first all-civilian team to complete a spacewalk. We are incredibly delighted to have them right here on our couch, right next to us. We're going to talk to them in just a moment. But first, a closer look at their history.
And they're all a civilian team. And by the way, the guy with his arms crossed that doesn't seem to be so thrilled to be there, he's the dude. He's the guy who's supposedly spending all this money and very much a part. Everybody else got the big smile on him. He's kind of got like the, I don't know.
Remaking Space Odyssey.
That's awesome.
In the 5 days between launch and splashdown, the four Polaris crew members made their mark on history, reaching an orbit 870 miles above Earth.
And you know, that's the other thing about these rockets that's just crazy to me. Listen, there's a time and a place for touchscreens. And again, we've shown you those all the way back to 2001, A Space Odyssey. And I often make the argument. You watch 2001 A Space Odyssey, which comes out, I believe, in 68, before the moon landing. And it really preps not only the United States populace, but the global populace as to what to believe via space travel and what it's actually like and how it can be portrayed. And to Kubrick's credit, that movie stands up today. But when you really take a look at it, and you take a look at those scenes in the deep, dark bowels of space with no sound and slow movements. Yes, there's an artistic feel, but it also kind of gives you the idea of the lunacy of the idea of that type of travel that is so extensive. Pointing that out.
SpaceX astronaut Sarah Gillis and Anna Menon flew further in space than any women in history. The Dragon capsule flying higher than anyone since the last Apollo flights to the moon more than 50 years ago.
And, you know, again, talking about those flights, when I was talking about the touchscreens, they had all these physical buttons. And I don't know how far Apollo actually went with rockets, but I can only tell you that I remain extremely skeptical of the whole scenario. Okay.
These take us closer to fulfilling SpaceX's dream of making life multiplanetary.
With Scott Poteet serving as the mission pilot, the crew also conducting some 40 research experiments and testing new spacesuits in the first ever all-civilian spacewalk.
And again, those suits look a lot more like something you'd see in 2001, A Space Odyssey, than anything else. As far as the experimentation, obviously they don't have the ISS labs there, but I have to wonder if some of those are, if they're that much higher up, right? We're talking about way higher up. You're not taking some of those projects that have been worked on the ISS and sending them up there as well. If, again, they're 900 miles in space, which would only be about, I don't know, 237,000 plus miles away from the moon, let alone 120, 140 million miles away from Mars.
A high-risk operation that required the crew to open the entire capsule, exposing all four of the members to the vacuum of space. Billionaire entrepreneur Jared Isaacman and SpaceX engineer Sarah Gillis venturing outside the capsule.
Do you have visual?
Affirm, we have visual on the nose cone.
The crew says the mission brought back valuable information about the challenges of future manned missions.
I mean, take a look at that. Take a look at that. I'm just, again, I get it. We're in the information age. We've had the iPad for a while. I can see the value of touchscreens, but when you look at the mechanical buttons on the bottom, boy, that's, it just seems a little dangerous, but what do I know? I'm not a rocket engineer. I'm just a kooky conspiracy theorist to most. Folks, we got a couple minutes left in the broadcast. I would encourage people to do their own research, to go check everything out, not just believe not only the conspiracy videos, but the mainstream stuff out there. I didn't really even delve into that. Well, it was a Transformers conference, the vast majority of that that you saw with NASA. Well, the thing is that Transformers conference also had somebody involved in 3D printing, transhumanism, and transgenderism. That would be Martine Rothblatt. And if you're unaware of Martine Rothblatt, when we're talking about transhumanism, space, satellites, that's somebody you should know. Martine Rothblatt, formerly Martin Rothblatt, was the founder of Sirius XM, was very involved in satellite radio, and its institution around the world is very involved in transhumanism and is very involved in the transgender movement that has infiltrated your school systems and our culture on a level most can't imagine, because it really is about being from transgender to transhuman, aka that book. And Unzipped Jeans. Do I have Unzipped Jeans right here? Oh, there it is. Look at that. Also wrote Unzipped Jeans, Taking Charge of Baby Making in the New Millennium. I am Jason Burmess. You can check me out at X, at Jason Burmess. That's B-E-R-M-A-S. I'm on every single platform. I'm also live on Patriot.tv 5 days a week, 5 p.m. Eastern, with my show Making Sense of the Madness. I want to let everybody know that it is not about left or right to this guy. It's always about right and wrong, and you can do the right thing right now by going to InfoWarsStore.com, supporting this broadcast, supporting Alex Jones, getting the supplements, getting the products, getting the books, getting the videos, but most importantly, not just sitting on your hands, not looking to others, looking in the mirror, deciding to take action today, be your own hero, do your own research, and let InfoWars.com help along the way. We'll see you on the flip side.
You want your shot to own this piece of pure Americana, the most powerful, amazing truck in the world today. It's real simple. You go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. You can enter for free by putting your email, or when you buy great t-shirts or amazing knives and so many other great products that fund the InfoWar, you get entered 5 to 10 times for every purchase. Now, you're getting the colors I like the best, this dark green, this black, the red pinstripe. But what really matters is the shocks, the giant tires, the engine. Folks, I've had a lot of big trucks, but I'm telling you, they don't even compare to this. Be part of this, be part of history, be part of saving the Republic. And believe me, you want this truck. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I'll see you there, and I can't wait to find out who the lucky winner is going to be. I'm telling you, this is better than sex.
Naturally sourced from the finest hemp plants in America, Rebel Zen offers the absolute finest quality CBD available and at the lowest prices. Extracted using a cold-pressed technique to retain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids and terpenes within the plant, this full-spectrum formula ensures that your nervous system gets the full benefits of CBD. Premium quality organic CBD like Rebel Zen has been shown to naturally reduce anxiety, relieve pain, and decrease inflammation. People have reported a reduction in symptoms of insomnia, arthritis, seizures, chronic pain, and epilepsy. Several studies have shown it helps to reduce cortisol, increase serotonin, and boost vitality. Order yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.